Okay, Michael, do you also use any direct mail in conjunction with email marketing? For instance, do you send postcards to drive traffic to a squeeze page so you can follow up with autoresponder emails?
I don't currently do, but it's something that I should do and I'm preparing to do. As a matter of fact, as I've been building my buyer list with PayPal, almost all my orders are done through PayPal. When someone orders using their PayPal button, you collect all their information. You have their mailing address, you have their city, state, zip code, their email address, and then I send that to a assistant who separates all that, and I have a big master mail file of all my buyers, categorized exactly what they bought, when they bought. And so I have the perfect direct mail list to do this. It's just a matter of doing it. And I do think that that would really complement any kind of marketing campaign. It's nice to integrate other things besides just email. You'll definitely get their attention. I'm going to do it. And I would encourage others to definitely do that as well.
I'm always impressed by your consistency in writing regular emails and your quick response to anyone who emails you. When you send out emails asking for a response, what is a typical percentage response? How much time each day do you normally take to respond personally to email?
I don't get deluged with responses. What will happen is, and I don't measure it. Let's say if I send out an email and I say, for more information, just reply to this email, and in the subject line, type in all caps. So for example, let's say if it's generating an inquiry or interest in my HMA marketing consulting system. What will happen is, I'll see that headline come in all caps, and I'll have a response already pre-written. So it'll be in my notepad. I'll write it once, and then as those come in, it does take a little time. I'll see it come in, I'll open it, I'll reply, I'll copy and paste my canned response. I may personalize it a little bit if they're asking something specific, but usually they're just responding with the all caps in the subject line for more information. So it's literally copy and paste and send out, and I could have anywhere from 30 responses to 15 to 10. It just all depends. But I will say, every time I do ask for some kind of response, I do get responses every time I email. And you got to ask yourself, what are you selling? You know, I'm selling a very expensive marketing consulting system. And if only one person responds and it generates a sale, that email has made money and it's done its job.
Now, something that we've never talked about, what people keep asking about, what is your percentages and your conversions? And what a lot of people have to understand is, if you're not building your list very rapidly, and let's say you're only growing 2 to 3 new subscribers a day, well, your response is going to go down automatically, not because your emails suck or anything like that, but because all the buyers have already bought. So now you're going after the really high fruit. So your response is naturally going to drop unless you're just adding a lot of new names to your list.
Yeah, that's right. And it depends on the price point of your product. I mean, I can do an email promotion and generate a couple hundred sales in a matter of a few days for a $20 product. Or I could do a product that's several thousand dollars and it may only generate 2 or 3 sales. But you got to do the numbers. Marketing is a game of mathematics. You got to do your numbers. How much are you going to make? What does it cost you? And then you figure out, what is each response worth to you? So you can figure out exactly how much you can invest in getting a response, depending on how much you make.
What percentage of your emails are open?
I don't track it, so I don't exactly know, to tell you the truth. Now, I used to track it through AWeber, and I may get 2% on everyone that's sent, depending on the subject line or depending on what the email is for. I may get 3%. There may be some I may get 1%, and maybe some I only get 0.5%. So again, it goes back to depending, you know, what kind of email is it. I did see an email come across yesterday, and it was from Glenn Livingston. Remember? Okay, Glenn Livingston.
Yeah.
I think he sent it out today or yesterday, and it was the number one headline that got the most click-throughs, or the number one headline that got the most opens. And I clicked over to his page, and I was looking at what he was writing. I couldn't figure out exactly what it was, but it made me think of one email that I sent out that got an incredible response, maybe 20%, and the headline was, I need your address. I said, I need your address, and I sent it out, and it was where I was requesting people's address so I can send them out a CD of my top 61 hours of audio interviews, and I got a huge response for that. So it all depends on what your offer is.
You know what? I'm going to tell you what that subject line
was. Yeah, what was it? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see. I get a Google alert whenever my name is mentioned.
Oh, did he mention you in there?
Well, yeah, he did, because he interviewed me a couple of years ago. He was just kind of comparing it to some of the stuff I said, because it turned out to be completely different than what any of us would expect. And his best one was, all my audios are now on iTunes.
Oh, really?
There you go, man. There's no hype. There's no nothing to that. It's awesome.
What was it, open rate or click-through rate? Or what was it? Do you know?
That's a good question. He analyzed all 417 subject lines and their click-through rates. So it must have been the click-through rate.
So what was the gist of that email? It's the value that he was offering?
The point of it was his second best email subject line ever is the name of the blog post.
Oh, I see. And it's kind of like, what's in it for the reader?
Yeah, it was very interesting. And this goes to show that you don't have to overload them with fancy stuff. You don't even have to get entertaining, quite frankly. It's all about the market. His market, to his people, he's a very left-brain guy. You know, he's told me this. He likes to analyze things. So he probably appeals to that section of the market. And to them, that was probably a big deal. I like his audios, quite frankly. And I always wanted to know if they were in one place. And I probably did open that email just for that.
Right.
Do you like AWeber?
I do like AWeber. AWeber is wonderful. It's inexpensive. It's effective. It works. It backs up everything. I like it a lot, and I'd highly recommend it.
How big is your email list?
My email list currently is about 14,000 subscribers. I have 14,000 names on my email list currently.
And I'm going to add a question in that, but I'm wondering, what was your main method of building it to 14,000?
My main method of building it to 14,000 was providing free audio interviews at hardtofindseminars.com. On each page, there's an interview. When someone comes to that page, I have a pop-up that will pop up on that page. So when people go to a page and they find one of my audio interviews through the search engines or what have you, there is going to be a pop-up that asks them to enter their email address to be notified of new audio interviews. It's a simple pop-up. That is how I've been able to build it. And I'm going to say my joint ventures, I have built names, but all my joint ventures, I'm sure some of the buyers who bought a product through a joint venture will end up subscribing, but I don't force an opt-in with any of my joint ventures. I have those buyer names in my PayPal backup, and so I have those on an Excel file, which I could use, but I haven't uploaded them and asked them to opt-in. So joint ventures is one way I've built some names, but the majority has been just a simple pop-up on my website, on the index page, the homepage of my site. There's a place that asks them to join my newsletter so they can click from the front page and get on my newsletter. But that's how I've done it. I've done it by providing a lot of free content that people like, and they want to know when the new stuff is out so they get on my list. You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
What was your most successful email campaign?
I haven't analyzed all the dollars, okay, but I'll tell you one of the most impactful ones, Ben, and it was when I did that joint venture promotion. It was a $20 joint venture offer, and I think I had, for everyone who went to the sales letter, the sales page, I converted like 30% of the people. And for years, I hadn't done any low-price products. So it was a $297 joint venture product. You and I both sold a lot of those at $300 for years and years. And then it was just kind of sitting there and stagnant. And I figured, let's see if I offer this $297 joint venture product for $20. And I sent that email out, I think it was on a Thanksgiving day, and I couldn't believe the sales coming in. I mean, they were flooding in. It was amazing. And then I knew I hit on to something. What it told me was there was a segment of my list who would spend $20 on a product. Before that, I was selling higher-end products. You know, we preached and talked a lot about keeping your prices high, which was fine, and I did. I mean, I sold $300 products, $1,400 products, $597 products. For years and years, I did that, and I would say that is the way to go because the higher-priced customers are less of a pain in the butt. You're making more margins, which is great. But what I learned by doing these $20 email promotions, I mean, most people have $20. They're willing to give your product a chance for $20. Many of these people, my list was really an email list built on free interviews. You know, these were freebie seekers, people looking for free audio content. I think I'd built up a lot of stored value from all the people who had been listening to all these audio interviews. And I think psychologically, some people wanted to pay me back in some way, because I would always get emails from people, how can I repay you? You know, why are you giving this stuff all for free? They kind of owed me something in a way. But combine that with the good quality content that I've been putting out for years, with a $297 product for $20, it's an irresistible offer, and the sales flooded in. And since I did that first one, I duplicated that probably 15 or 16 different times over the last 2 years, and every time it works. It's not working with the power and veracity it did from the first time, but it still works. And the lesson is, your list out there, there's all kinds of people on that list. Remember the pizza, all different slices, all different flavors, all different kinds. Some people got a lot of money. Some people have a little money. There's all different levels of financial situations out there on your list, in all different kinds of people. So you got to understand, you got to tap different levels of your list. If you're always asking for a very expensive product, a segment of that list will never spend $300 on a product. They'll never spend $500 on a product, no matter how much you email them. They just fundamentally won't do it, or, you know, say they can't do it. But when you lower that price and you offer an irresistible offer with a risk-free guarantee, you're going to get a lot of those sales. And that was very interesting. I made a lot of good money from that, and it was a great experience learning that there's all kinds of people on your list, and I'd encourage anyone to try that if they're only selling high-end products.
What processes do you use to so thoroughly understand your prospect that you are then able to craft a powerful message he is compelled to return?
Well, the powerful thing that I do is I don't dream it up. I don't really create it. We talked about this. I organize it. I'm using their words. So, for example, my email today, I got the headline from someone else. I borrowed that. The gist of the email was an email that someone sent me who was pissed off that he had spent 4,000 hours studying internet marketing, and he believed all this marketing consulting was a bunch of BS, and that he's invested in all these courses, and that 7 out of 10 people failed anyway, and he's just about given up. I couldn't write anything better than that. I just took what he wrote and turned it into a powerful email. I used his words. And so anyone doing email, don't try and dream up. Don't look at the blank screen and try and create this magical email letter, you know, from air. Look at what your market is already saying. Look at what they're reading. Look at their stories and just organize and compile and create a nice story from it. So you don't have to be a genius to dream this stuff up. It's all around you. Just pick it up, organize it, polish it up a little bit, and send it out.
Has it been more profitable for you to offer free items as the primary conversion or to sell a product directly?
I think both are very important strategies. I think the free stuff is a very important strategy for what I do. By giving away a lot of free stuff, it does build a little bit of credibility with the experts that I interview. People like getting free stuff. They feel like there's some value. I have a chance to get my voice, you know, in their head. I have a chance to build some likability and to get the listener to know me, like me, and trust me. But at the same time, you can still give free stuff and still sell at the same time. There's nothing wrong with that. Giving the free stuff has allowed me to build my list. It's just like we talk about sending a daily email opens doors. Well, giving away the free stuff and doing interviews and offering free interviews has opened up doors, just like sending out the email. So, yeah, I think it's a good way to go.
Michael, in your emails, do you find it more effective to promote hardtofindseminars.com, specific interviews on the site, or products like the HMA system? You seem to have a mix. Do you have a rough estimate of the ratio of what you promote?
For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. I mix it up. I don't have any set ratio of what I'm promoting, unless I'm specifically know this week I'm going to be promoting this particular product. Those emails are going to be about this particular product. If I want to maybe give it a rest and give my subscribers a break from some of my promotions, I'll go to my collection of interviews and I'll find three or four that maybe I've never promoted, and I'll create an email for that and I'll share that with them, a new interview that hasn't been promoted. It may be up on the site, but I've never promoted it through email. I've got hundreds of interviews, and maybe I sent out an email on it 8 months ago. I can go ahead and send out that same email today, and it's going to reach a whole different slice of the pizza that never received it 8 months ago. So understand, the mistake a lot of people think is when they send out an email that their entire list is opening and reading their email. And when you say email is forgiving, I thought about this. This is one reason why. Let's say you send out an email that's absolutely terrible. And I'll give you an example. A couple weeks ago, I was thinking about taking down all my free stuff. I said, I'm not going to be giving this stuff away for free anymore. I'm just going to sell it. So I was going to block access to the site. And I sent out an email to my list that talked about that. I think I sent out two of them. And I thought, oh man, I changed my mind. I don't know what I was thinking. I decided that would be a mistake. And I didn't really know what I was thinking, and so I changed my mind. And I thought, well, I had already sent two emails out to my list announcing it, but it's forgiving because my whole list didn't open the email, so my whole list didn't even know about it. So, you know, if you're getting a 2.5% response or a 3 or 4% response on each email, you're not hitting your whole list. So it didn't really hurt me. It was no big deal. So I changed course, and that's something you got to think of. You know, only a small segment of your list is going to open up each email. And that's why you can send out the same email with the same subject line multiple times and not really be bugging too many people, because there's a good chance the same person isn't going to open it up anyway. And there's also strategies that you can do. You can suppress buyers. So if I'm promoting something and I generate 20 or 30 sales on a product, I can take those email addresses that bought and suppress those from the next email so they don't get it a second time.
It seems you have various forms of information products. Some you've done yourself, like your Audio Marketing Secrets product, some with another expert like your HMA product, and others you just affiliate with. Do you have any advice towards which is most profitable and worth pursuing?
I think having a combination is great, to have them all. They all serve a different purpose. Now let's take, for example, the ones where I'm an affiliate for. So one strategy in getting these interviews with these big names is I say I want to become an affiliate for you. So if I approach John Carlton, maybe he doesn't know who I am, and I say I'd like to interview him for my site. Well, there's no real reason. You know, it's just another guy wanting to do an interview. But say I contact his office and say I'd like to promote your simple writing system to my subscribers, and he goes to my site, he sees all these interviews on copywriting and other marketing topics, and then I say I'd like to interview him to help promote it, then I'm going to have a better chance of getting an interview. So I use that as a tool to get the interview, okay? So I've got the interview, and then I'm an affiliate. So that works out, and I do make some good money with multiple affiliate relationships from experts that I've interviewed on hardtofindseminars.com. Now, Audio Marketing Secrets, that is the one product that I position myself as an expert. I've done a ton of interviews. I market using audio, so that's the one thing that I position myself as an expert and I sell as my expertise. And that's very profitable because I create, own, and control the product, and I keep all the money. Unlike with the affiliate relationship, I'm keeping maybe half the money or whatever the affiliate commission is. Sometimes it's only 10% of whatever it sells, or 20% or whatever the arrangement is. Now, the HMA and the Art Hamill and some of my other products, I've done licensing deals with. So I'm not the expert. So when I'm marketing through email, it's a lot nicer promoting someone else as the expert rather than me tooting my own horn. I mean, when I'm tooting my own horn, I just sound like I'm bragging. But if I say, hey, you got to check this guy out, this Richard guy or this Art Hamill, this guy who's bought, you know, 50 businesses and most of them were over $1 million, and he can teach you how to do the same thing, your readers are going to be more receptive to that, because it's not me bragging saying, look at how great I am, like with my Audio Marketing Secrets. So endorsing and promoting someone else, but I enjoy the combination of making a majority of the money because I've licensed the rights to be able to do that. So you set your deals up, kind of licensing deals, and you have control to do what you want under a licensing agreement, and you negotiate a good percentage of whatever you sell, but they get a lot out of it by being the expert. So you can work deals like that as well. So all of them are just, you know, a leg to the chair for income, and they all have a purpose.
I've written a highly successful series of emails, over $100,000 in sales to 1,000 customers in 3 months. Strangely enough, the client hates my storytelling. He wants me to offer more coupons and sales and skip the stories. What is your experience? What is better overall, stories or coupons?
You know, results is what you want. You know, if you've written a successful series using stories, I would use what works. If the client doesn't want to use what works, and he'll pay you all up front and tell you what to do, then you can mail his coupons and test it. It's up to you. If you have a joint venture relationship with the client and you're earning a percentage of the sales and he wants to use your email series, well, it doesn't sound like he wants to use your email series. So I don't know. You know, it depends on what he's paying you or what's in it for you. I'm going to leave it up to you. My experience is to do a combination of what works. I like stories. I also like straight sales offers, you know, my $20 offers. I like simple direct, here's a new interview. I like to mix it up. I like to do testimonial emails where I include a bunch of testimonials. I just try and have a variety, so you don't want to do the same old thing every time like we've talked about before.
And really, when it comes down to client stuff, sometimes the clients are right. I'm the last one to want to admit this, but sometimes they know their market better than you do. And in this case, I think the client sounds like they're kind of closed-minded, but ideally you would say, well, let's do a test. Let's test my emails versus a straight coupon, and let's test that against a mixture of a story that also promotes the coupon. Then you can test three different things and let the market tell you what they want.
There you go. Good idea.
And any client that would have a problem with that is just someone you don't want as a client. I mean, just get paid up front and be done, and, you know, if they don't use it, tough. But most smart clients would not have a problem with that. Next question, how do you or did you study to improve your email copywriting skills? Do you have any technique?
I think the one technique is just to do it. You know, Ben, I'm going to give you the credit. You got me into this email story thing. You sent me a set of CDs, and you let me borrow that set of CDs from Matt Fury, and I listened to those, and I just got it. Because I had been doing emails, but nothing like this, and it just all made sense and all kind of clicked. So then I started to do it, and I started to do it badly. I didn't really know what I was doing. And so I said before, you're going to do some terrible emails. You're going to fumble. They're not going to be perfect at first, but as you practice, you're going to get better and better. You're going to make new connections. You're going to have that antenna up, and story ideas are going to start flowing into your brain. You're going to start writing them down. You're going to start collecting them. You're going to start understanding how to take that story and make a connection to a new interview you have, or a product, or a course, or a series of trainings, or whatever you're selling or doing. You're going to be able to make those connections and see how your story fits with what you're trying to do. So screw it. You just got to do it and just make some movement, and you will get better as you practice. Ben, I'm an artist, and I want to do a mailing to get old customers to come back or give me referrals. Any ideas?
Selling art is actually not as easy as it might seem. One of the things that you can do is just a simple reactivation campaign. But again, if you don't have a list that's used to hearing from you all the time, this could take a while. But it's not hard to just send an offer out and say, look, send me a referral and I'll give you XYZ. This is almost as simple as sending a coupon out, as we were talking about earlier. Give them a reason to give you a referral and they'll probably do it. I don't know anything about that market, people who buy art. I just know that people respond to rewards. So if you reward someone for doing something, they're more likely to keep doing it for you every time you ask.
Yeah, and a good model for rewards would be give them a little bit of money. Well, you know, just say if you refer someone to me, you'd be willing to pay X amount of whatever sells. A lot of people will go for that, and some people may give you the referrals regardless, and they don't even want money. But look, that's what the whole affiliate industry is based on. You know, you refer someone, and you're going to get paid for opening your mouth and doing a referral. I find stimulus and tax credits for commercial property owners and manufacturers in the U.S. money these folks never thought they had coming, and I do it on a contingency basis. If I find nothing, they pay nothing. My main obstacle is trust building for them to sign the agreement, as I won't do work for free. For example, when I do find something, I need to have them sign, and even though it clearly states if I find nothing, they owe nothing, I still have the same issue. Perhaps some training in email writing can better introduce myself and build confidence with them to make me believable.
There's a couple things with this. First, it sounds to me like he wants to write cold emails to introduce the service to people, which to me is not probably the ideal way to do it. You're much better off using maybe a FedEx letter and sending it FedEx really classy so they know you're serious and all that. But let's assume that you can build a list of people who are commercial property owners and manufacturers, which is probably not hard to do. I mean, you just have to go out and target them in your traffic campaign. So you get a list of people like that together, joining your e-zine that is about ways for them to get money and finance their deals. So you have an e-zine that's about the general topic of what you do. At the end of each e-zine email, or most of them, you can kind of plug yourself, look, I can do this for you, and I can do it where it won't cost you any money, yada, yada, yada. And now you have an established trust with people. They're hearing from you on a regular basis. You're not a stranger. And by the time that they're ready to contact you, they're way more receptive to what you're doing here, and you probably won't have all these troubles.
I market an employment alternative to government and get them off their payroll and onto mine. This can save governments close to 30%. My question is, should I direct prospects to our website only in the email message for further info, or sell them in the email message at the same time?
The way I tend to do things, and this can probably work across the board, I've never sold anything like this before, but I do a mixture of both. I think it's better to have a nice, good sales page on the internet on your website that you can test on a regular basis and play with, and it looks nice and professional and all that, that you tease people in emails about going to. But at the same time, sometimes if they're hearing from you regularly, and if you can build a good enough story around what you do, you can pitch it right in the email every now and then. I do it all the time. I mean, you just kind of have to feel it out. Depends what kind of email you're writing. Do both, that's what I would say.
We have 24 hotel rooms and an email list of 3,000. Unfortunately, we just do not have the time or resources to test. We have special offers. Would you recommend a mention in the email with a link to the website or full details of the offer in the monthly email?
Well, in that case, it's simply a matter of just giving people a reason to stay in your hotel whenever they're passing through. I mean, discounts, room discounts, that sort of thing, coupons. I think there's a hotel room called Courtyard or something.
Courtyard by Marriott?
Yeah, I think they do a lot of interesting offers and that sort of thing. I would actually just look at what they're doing and mimic it.
They can use story techniques depending on where they are. What are some of the features in nice restaurants around the hotel? What are some reasons for people to come to your city where your hotel is located? Are there amusement parks? Would it make a nice vacation? Is there a beach? Sell the area and then, oh, by the way, come to the area and stay at our hotel. Give them a reason to stay at your hotel.
And there's also, you know, if any interesting celebrity stayed at that hotel, you can kind of tap into that social proof. If a famous person has stayed there, it gives you a reason to tell a story, if nothing else. And even on eBay, in fact, Michael, I think you've shown me eBay ads that were built around just a stupid story about a celebrity.
Yeah, they're mystery auctions, and they were super popular. I haven't checked into it lately. But you don't know what's actually for sale, and you're placing your bids in an auction format based on this just incredible story. It could be a box that's closed, like a cardboard box, and then the writer of the mystery auction doesn't reveal what it is, but concocts this whole story. And based on the story and some great writing and some great imagination, some of these mystery auctions can go for a lot of money, just based on curiosity. I'm a licensed massage therapist, and I just started using email blast to inform my clients of discounts and specials, but I'm not impressed with my headliners. What would you recommend for my body workers such as myself? I need wording to lure them to open my emails and call me for an appointment.
I think this is an interesting question. I think the same principles we've talked about before about subject lines apply. There's so many ways you can kind of attack this. I mean, you can use curiosity. Pain's a good one, too. If you're dealing with massage therapy, you can talk about painful things that people go through right in the subject line, you know, painful backs, painful legs, whatever. There's just so many ways to hit this. You just have to stick with the basics. Tell stories, and oftentimes you'll get your best subject lines just by going through your email and picking out some interesting little tidbit you've already written and use it to tease people in. The one thing you don't want to do is be boring. I mean, really, as long as you're not boring, you're going to be fine. So put it this way. The first thing that comes to mind, the wackiest, stupidest thing that comes to mind, write it down and see if you can't use that as a subject line. You might be surprised by how many people open something like that, because all they're getting all day are the same crap. They're just getting things that say last chance, you know, 50% off, whatever. It's always the same thing. But if you just do something interesting and unique and it's just so different that it stands out, people are going to open it, and they're going to enjoy hearing from you, quite frankly, because you're becoming a highlight of their day.
You know, massage therapy, that's kind of like an intimate profession in a way, kind of like a hairdresser. When women go to the beauty salon, you know, the hairdresser is almost like their best friend. They open up and they talk about, you know, anything and everything to their hairstylist. I bet it would be the same thing. These massage therapists, just think back of all the customers that you've had and all the stories you hear and what brought them in. Why are they there, you know? And talk about those stories. Talk about some of the interesting people you've met doing massage therapy and some of the stories that brought them in and the results that you brought for them, and then make some kind of incentive or offer to get the readers of the emails back in there. I mean, I can see tons of stories coming just from your existing clientele if you have your antenna up and if you're willing to listen. My biggest problem is creating emails for very specialized services without having the required expertise and without relying on the company owner to provide the email. We all know they will not do it. How do I do this without sounding like a total newbie in the field of expertise?
This is an excellent question, and it's something that I had to recently go through too. I'm not an expert. It's not medically related, but I mean, there's medical stuff I talk about and that sort of thing. I'm familiar with the problem I'm trying to solve, but not everybody's problem with it. So how do I sound confident? Well, I'll tell you a really good shortcut, and this works for emails, it works for writing articles, it works for pretty much anything, and you will sound completely confident. In fact, you'll not only sound confident, but people will feel like you absolutely know their problem better than anybody else. And if we go back to what we were saying before, as long as you're in their world, you're safe. And that is, whatever you're selling specials, whatever that specialization is, I want you to go on the internet and I want you to look up for message boards and internet forums where people are complaining about the problem that you solve. So for example, I'll use the golf analogy. If you're selling to golfers, you can go to message boards and forums and blogs and you look at the comments and you look at what people are complaining about golf. You can pretty much take the stories and the problems that they're complaining about, reword it in your own words. You don't want to copy anything word for word. And say, look, here's a problem somebody had, and then dot, 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 and you just go into exactly what you just read. I mean, this is like the biggest shortcut I've ever seen. I've been experimenting with this. It's completely easy to do. And the best part is the more you do this, the faster and more familiar you're going to get with the expertise you're trying to talk about. See, your job in an email, it's not necessarily to teach. And this is where I think a lot of people go wrong, and I know we've talked about this before. It's to sell. You're much better off talking about people's symptoms. Again, it's talk radio. What are they complaining about? What is the emotion that they're feeling? Talk about that. You're just one of them. You know, I know you're supposed to be selling a specialized service, but you don't have to teach or anything. Just go in there and show them that you understand the problem better than anyone else. And at the very end, then you put a link for whatever is being sold and take it from there.
How can I engage my readers but also get them to buy from me on occasion? I try to follow the 80-20 rule, 80% content, 20% offer, and they just don't seem to respond like I think they should.
That's because the 80-20 rule, when it comes to email, is a complete fabricated myth. There are some people that I highly respect in this industry who believe this. In fact, they'll even say it's like 90-10. It should be 90% content and 10% selling. I just don't agree with that. I think every email stands and lives and breathes on its own. Some emails, you may tell stories or maybe give some really soft information away and have a very soft pitch at the end. In some emails, you're going to want to be more aggressive. It just depends. I'll give you an example. I did an email yesterday to my own list, and it was about the benefits of using publicity. And I simply told the story about how I wrote a book about dogs, and I didn't have any expertise. You know, I'm not a dog trainer or a vet or anything. And yet, when I got on the radio and I'm being interviewed, I had more credibility than all the vets and the dog trainers did in people's minds who were listening to me, all because I got on the radio and I was the celebrity. They were experts, but I was a celebrity. Anyway, the point is, I told that story. It's somewhat useful. I mean, it tells people the benefits of using publicity. It didn't really teach them how to do it. And then I segued after that story into a bonus I give away when people join my print newsletter. That'll show them how to do it. And you could say that was pretty much a straight sales pitch, but it didn't read like one because I followed the exact same principles we've been teaching in this email. It's not like I got a bunch of unsubscribes or anyone complaining saying, hey, quit sending me pitches. Those things don't really come into play anymore when you follow these principles. So just forget this 80-20 stuff or 90-10 stuff. Don't worry about that. Every day is a different email, and some days you're going to push a little harder. Some days you're just not going to push at all, and I think you should plug something every time, no matter what. I mean, I'll plug things even though I really has no context to the email, just so I put a link in there. If people get too caught up in these formulas and everything, they're just going to trip themselves. Don't do that. Just go with your gut, start writing, and see what happens.
Hi, it's Michael Senoff, and if you like what you've been listening to in this 10-part series with Ben Settle on email, I want to introduce an incredibly advanced system on selling that can be used in your one-to-one phone call conversations, in all of your email correspondence, and or integrated into your written sales letters. Go to www.hardtofindseminars.com/HHSOE.htm. Or you could just go to Google and search these words, the highest paid salesman on earth, and you'll find a link to an incredible product that will only enhance all your selling efforts, whether it's one-to-one phone conversations, emails, or in your sales letters. Check it out at hardtofindseminars.com/HPSOE.HTM. This is the end of part 9. Please continue to part 10.